enjoying connecting with one another during the reading time. Praise the Lord. Yeah, if you guys could just find your seats, we're going to go ahead and get started today. Praise the Lord. It's a good morning, amen. Praise the Lord to be in God's presence together as His church, as His family. Amen. So, yeah. Most of you know my name. My name's Jason Season. I'm an elder here at Ascend Church. And, I get the blessing and the honor to share the Word of God with you all this morning. So praise the Lord. Yeah, I love Pastor Victor. He's an anointed messenger, you know, of the Word of God. But just as an amazing leader, one thing I really love about him is he desires for each one of us to be activated into our calling. And he's just making room for the elders to be activated and to share what they hear from the Lord. So, praise the Lord. I just going to go for it today. So, I'm just going to open in prayer and then I'm going to wait for it. So, Jesus, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. We get to gather together to be with you where you are, in your presence, God. I just thank you for this family here at Ascend Church, Lord, that we get to not only be with you, but we get to be with one another, one with you and one with one another in the Holy Spirit, just to hear your heart, Lord, each and every week. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts the Word of God, and that you have your way during this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Shabbat. So praise the Lord. So I've known for a few months actually, that I would be sharing roughly around this time in February. So I've had a decent amount of time to pray and just seek the Lord on what He would have for me to share this day. And it was really during our time of prayer and fasting that we opened the 2019 with. At the beginning of January, we fasted for 21 days and just really sought the Lord. And it was during those 21 days I really felt like I received a word from the Lord. And I just during that time, after I felt the Lord put a couple verses on my heart, I was just brought to the significance of what the Lord was doing in our midst. So, if you've been here for many years, this is not new for you, but if this is your first time, or if you're new here at Ascend Church, as of January of this year, 2019, we launched into a new name. Our name for the previous 10 years was Hilltop Campus Church, and starting January 7th of 2019, we launched with a new name. Our name is Ascend Church. And as I was just meditating and thinking and praying about the significance of what that really means, I really believe that a name is so much more than just a title or, you know, something we call ourselves. Really, there's depth behind our names individually, but even corporately, that it really gives the revelation of our identity in God and our calling and our purpose. So I was just praying about that, you know, meditating on what it really means to be a sin church. And just to a little bit of history here, like I said, we've been a church for about a little over 10 years, and some of the rhema words really came out of a passage in Psalm 24, verses 3 through 6, that really were the verses that birthed Hilltop, and now, as we prayed, we felt like the Lord wants to continue to emphasize this rhema word for us as a body. But as Pastor has shared many times, that many of our core values, our calling, is not changed, but there is just a newness of the Spirit and a new revelation and activation of this word in our midst. Amen? So I'm just going to start by reading the that those verses in Psalm 24, verses 3 through 6. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Amen. That is just chock full of depth and revelation in itself. And I know it sounds really neat, you know, ascending the hill of the Lord. It's a metaphor of a spiritual reality that we have in God. I really believe that it's, some people could hear our name, Ascend Church. It's just a new trendy, you know, name. Ascend just sounds hip or whatever. Really, no. The Lord is highlighting that this is who you are. A people who will ascend my hill and encounter me and really encounter all that I have for you as my people. So, but anyways, I was thinking about, you know, just that phrase, ascending the hill of the Lord. It sounds really nice. It sounds really spiritual. It sounds really cool. But I just was asking the question before the Lord, is that, what does it mean to ascend the hill of the Lord? I'm just giving him the cue to click it over on a PowerPoint. And my apologies, I just love the Lord. He's so humorous. Like, we can be seeking the Lord and trying to hear from him and get prepared to share the word, and then you have all these little technical difficulties, like with the screens, and the Lord's just like, don't focus on those little things. I just don't want to speak today in you and through you. And so my apologies if the text is either hard to read or if it's too small to print. I tried to enlarge it last second, but anyways, but back to the word, I was asking the Lord, what does it mean to ascend the hill of the Lord? And the verse that kind of came to mind and I really felt was a clear picture of what it means to ascend the hill of the Lord is in Philippians 3:10-14. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained it or am perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Love that passage. It's awesome. And it's just like, same with Psalm 24, just so loaded with so much. But I really felt like this gave a little more insight of what it really means to ascend the hill of the Lord. And I kind of just broke it down to its simplest way of thinking about this. And I came with two little definitions of what it really means to ascend the hill of the Lord. And I put, it's the process of becoming more like Jesus. Many of us have maybe heard of the word sanctification. It's this process of being transformed into the likeness of Jesus from glory to glory, day after day, week after week. It's this process that Jesus has us on to become more like him. We see here in Philippians, it says, you know, I've not been perfected, but I press onward, right? I'm not giving up. Yes, we've been perfected in the Spirit. We've gotten the precious Holy Spirit on the inside. We become new creations. But there is a process of sanctification where the Holy Spirit wants to transform us from the inside out. Our mind, our will, and our emotions to become like Jesus more and more each and every day, each and every week, each and every year. So that's what it really, I was just like, that's what it means to ascend. That's what we are here to do, is to say yes, to keep on pressing on, to become more like Jesus. each and every day, each and every week, each and every season of our lives, individually and corporately. And second, as I was looking at this passage, I see that there is a journey of discovering and fulfilling our purpose. And so, in a general sense, I can say with real boldness and confidence, and it's clear in the Word, that God's will for each and every one of us is to become one with Jesus. Period. I mean, it's so much more than just getting a free ticket to heaven. Jesus is determined and is committed to each and every one of us, and committed to us as a body, to see us and to walk us through that process of becoming more like Him. Amen? But there's also, so that's like the general will of God in a general sense of ascending. But then there's this like unique, specific calling and purpose that each and every one of us has. And I believe each body, each family has a unique and distinct destiny and purpose. And I see that's what Paul is doing here in Philippians. He's saying, I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm pressing on. I'm looking upward. I'm pressing towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I believe that there is a unique and special purpose for each and every one of us, but also as a sin church, that there is a unique calling and purpose for this body in the city of Peoria. I really believe for not only for the city, but for this region, I really believe we have a purpose and destiny to reach the nations for Jesus. Amen. I won't go into super detail about what that is. That's not the point of this sermon. But I felt like, as I was meditating on Psalm 24, that there is just verse by verse, it really gives clear principles of how to ascend. And so I was thinking, these are principles of ascending. These are our keys for us to continue to ascend in God in that process of becoming more like Him, as well as discovering and fulfilling our purpose as His church in this city. But also, I was just kind of thinking that this is, I was like, I could share and like teach on each of these principles, and I know there's not enough time. You could teach a whole sermon on each point, but I just felt like it was really, the Lord was speaking, that this is your DNA as a church. So, to look at these passages again, it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. So I just felt, as I was looking at this passage, I just really felt like the Lord is speaking this over us as a sin church, that this is who you are. A people that lives clean, not only on the outside, but lives pure on the inside. So, key number one, having clean hands and a pure heart. And I felt like the DNA or just the character quality is valuing holiness. And I was tempted just to talk about how to become clean and how to become pure and how to walk in purity and cleanliness. But for the sake of time, I really feel led to share that. But there's a heart attitude and desire that values holiness. I really felt like that was part of our DNA from the beginning, but He just wants to renew that, that revelation and just that desire to be holy before the Lord, not in our own righteousness, but really that is birthed by the Spirit of God. And in the body of Christ, I mean, I don't ever want to speak ill of anyone in the body of Christ. Every church is that calls upon the name of Jesus, they are my brother, they are my sister, and I love them in their shortcomings and in their imperfections. Every church has great things, and every church probably has some not so great things. But what I wanted to just visualize is that here at Ascend, we value holiness. And unfortunately, I have seen parts of the body of Christ that really looks down upon holiness. There's really an emerging church that says, you know what, Jesus is okay with sin, or is okay with various lifestyles, and it's, you know, they're saying it's okay, and they're compromising the Word of God. But I just believe that that's not what the Lord is speaking to us here at Ascend. Not past or now or in the future, that we are a people that value holiness, that desires holiness, and not in a religious sense, because I know in the body of Christ and in Christian circles, you can get in this weird holiness movement where it becomes very legalistic, and that's usually the accusation from people who don't really value holiness. They'll just say you're legalistic or headless criticisms. But it is a reality that you have to be conscious of when you're pursuing holiness, that God would really do that in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, not out of some religious spirit or duty, but there is what I call happy holiness, that it is better to be free from sin and darkness than to make compromises and try to make excuses to live in sin. I believe that Hilltop, not Hilltop, Ascend Church, that was Hilltop, no. Ascend Church is a church that values holiness and is pursuing holiness. I just put a little bullet there, just a thought. It says, I just put, true freedom is freedom to do what you ought, not to do what you want. And that here at Ascend, we're pursuing holiness of heart, purity of heart. That there is freedom, that there is grace by the Holy Spirit to be free from all vices, to be free from all sin, to live pure and holy before the Lord by His grace and by His Spirit. And it's joyful. It's not a burden. It's connected with God. Amen? And I love this passage, just to throw out a little verse that I like is Matthew 5:8. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So I just want to just declare over my heart, I want to declare over Ascend Church, that you are a pure and holy church that loves purity, that loves holiness, that is pursuing cleanliness not only on the outside but purity on the inside, and that our calling is to walk in holiness, freedom to do what is right before the Lord. And that there is a blessing of encountering God, of seeing God, and encountering God on a whole other level. I believe that's what the Lord has for us in this season as we are pursuing and transitioning into this new name. Amen? Amen. So, just to kind of go verse by verse in this passage, like I said, there's keys and principles and DNA that I really believe is from the Lord for us here. So it says, "He who has clean hands and pure heart," this kind of goes right in sequence. It says, "Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol." So I know it's sometimes, you know, we don't use that word, we don't use that phrase a whole lot, you know. Don't go worship an idol here, you know, we don't really. You better not be lifting up your soul to an idol. Jesus is watching you, we're here, keeping you accountable. Don't go lift your soul to an idol. That's not a really phrase that we use nowadays. And as I was meditating on what it really means to not lift up our soul to an idol, if you want to throw up the key number two, I put it's wholehearted love for Jesus. So you might ask, how did you come up with wholehearted love for Jesus after not lifting up your soul to an idol? As I was just researching and really praying about what it really means to not lift up our soul to an idol, there's a great man of God. Many of you probably heard of him or maybe read a book or two. His name's John Piper, and he gives a really great definition of what it means to really have idolatry in our lives. It says, "Idolatry starts in the heart. It's craving, wanting, enjoying, and being satisfied by anything that you treasure more than God." So, it's talking about the heart. And it's talking not about like blatant sin, you know, like cleanness and pure hearts, talking about purity, holiness, you know, being right before the Lord. But like idolatry, which I mean, Christians can get drawn into lifting up our soul to an idol. Maybe not full blown idolatry, but it's subtle. It's not some blatant sin, but it's this subtle drawing away of our hearts to something that's not Jesus, where we are being satisfied from something that is not Jesus. And many of us here have encountered the love of Jesus. And I could say probably most of us here have encountered the love of Jesus. And I could even say probably with confidence that many of us here have experienced powerful encounters with the love of Jesus. And we could just say, wow, there's nothing better than encountering the love of Jesus. Amen? If you had an encounter with Jesus, I believe the Lord wants to encounter you with his love. Amen. But so we have these encounters with this love, and then we go on day after day, week after week, and if we don't continue to cultivate that love in the secret place, we start to get drawn away, and other things, we get distracted, and then we just subtly start to get drawn away to being satisfied from things that really don't satisfy. And you could fill in the blank. It's not, you know, looking up our soul to an idol is not looking up our soul to some statue. It's looking up our soul to anything that is not Jesus. It's anything that is not, it's when we're getting satisfied by anything that is not from the heart of Jesus. And so I really believe that a sin church, you are called, and this is who you are in the Spirit. You are a pure and holy church that loves holiness and is wholehearted in love with Jesus because you've encountered his love. Amen? So, I don't mean this word to be like super convicting. It's like, these are super. Lord, give me grace, Lord, to communicate your heart in these principles and just in our DNA, that it really would be birthed by your Spirit in Jesus' name. But I just threw a few verses in there that I just love thinking about that help me when I encounter these realities of just renewing and turning my heart back to wholehearted love for Jesus and how I can sustain myself in that reality. Song of Solomon 1 verse 2 in Song of Solomon 8 verses 6 through 7. It said, chapter 1 verse 2, it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. And then in chapter 8, verses 6 through 7, it says, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. This is my prayer regularly, and it's my prayer for us, is that we would be kissed, that we would be embraced, that we would be encountered with the voice of our bridegroom, this passionate God who doesn't just love us a little, but he loves us a whole lot. Can everyone say amen to that? He loves us so much, he's willing to do whatever it takes to come to this earth, to die on a cross, to suffer for us, to take all our guilt, shame, and condemnation, to overcome death, all for the sake of love. Our God, I can say boldly, Jesus, King of the universe, is a passionate God who is pursuing us passionately with a vehement love that cannot be quenched. And he wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to speak right to the depth of your being and tell you how much he loves you. Not in a general sense, but in an intimate, personal sense. And our hearts get set on fire with his love. As Pastor Victor says, we love because he fierce loves us. We love because he first loved us. that our God, Jesus, loves us passionately, and He is pursuing us when we get off track, when we lift up our soul to an idol. He is hotly pursuing us. He is hot pursuing us individually. He's hotly pursuing us as Ascend Church. And I just want to just declare by the Spirit of the Lord that Ascend Church is a church that is wholehearted in love with Jesus because they've encountered His love. Amen? Amen. Let's see what time it is. Okay, I saw another time. Praise the Lord. And so that's key number two. That's, I really felt like that was an attribute and, like I said, the DNA of us here at Ascend. And so purity and holiness, wholehearted love for Jesus, and then just going through these verses here in Psalm 24. It says, nor sworn deceitfully. So key number three, not swearing deceitfully. I kind of just put in what that means. It's like, not swearing deceitfully. Like, do I ever? I mean, we really don't say, I swear anymore. We really don't. Back in biblical times, we did. But I just really look at it as the principle in the heart, attitude, and attribute of honesty and integrity. So I like this passage in 2 Corinthians 8:21. I just really felt like it kind of defines what integrity is. It says, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. So when I think of integrity, or not swearing deceitfully, I feel like it really encapsulates a heart of integrity to do what is right, even if it hurts. And kind of going back to that valuing holiness, you know, we're going to say yes to Jesus, yes to His Word, yes to His Spirit, even if it hurts, even if there is going to be persecution or resistance from people that we know at work or in our families, even in our city, that we are going to stand with the Lord and we're going to, by God's grace, do what is right, even if it hurts. And but also in Psalm 15, just a few chapters prior of this passage in Psalm 24, it says in verse 4, I just kind of took the last little chunk of this verse. It says, "And keeps their promises even when it hurts." I think it's the New Living Translation. So not only doing what is right when even if it causes pain, but keeping our promises. And this is really the convicting part. Even just sharing this word, I mean, I tremble. I'm like trembling before the Lord. Like, I'm sharing this word. It's a little, maybe a lot convicting. I don't want to just share this word. I want this word to be a reality in my life. Like, I just don't want to be one person on Sundays and in private, someone totally different. I really ask the Lord to give me a heart of integrity. Let me live my life before you the same as in public as I do in private. And so when I say, like, keeping our promises even when it hurts, I'm just thinking, I don't know. This is what I was thinking. I just pray that the Spirit would give a revelation. is that our name is Ascend. Ascend Church. And our tagline is following Jesus passionately and passionately advancing His kingdom. So when I think of that, when I say that I'm a member here, I'm a leader here at Ascend Church, I really want that to be the reality that I'm living. And I really, my prayer is that this would be the reality that we are living as a body. That we wouldn't just say, yeah, we're Ascend Church. We're ascending to the Lord. We're following Jesus passionately. And we're passionately advancing His kingdom. But then in reality, we're really not. Let's get 15. I want this to be a reality. I want to keep my promise before the Lord. I want to be a sent church. I want to follow Jesus passionately. I want to passionately advance His kingdom. I want to recommit my heart, no matter how many times I fail, to this process, to say yes to Jesus, to ascend to the Lord, forgetting those past failures and pressing onward to the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Holy Spirit, help me. Communicate this. So, and then last but not least, I'll just transition to the last point here in these verses. And this is probably one of my favorite ones. So this would be also. What? It's not coffee. This is Alaba. So what time is it? So I have a few minutes. I'll try not to spend too much time on this, because there is one last thing I wanted to share at the end. So, last point, Psalm 24. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face. Key number four, principle, this is our DNA, seeking God's face. Which, when I think of that, I think of hunger and thirst for God. This church started because there was a group of college students that were hungry and thirsty for God. And I know we get older, we get married, kids, get a job, and just that hunger can slowly dwindle. But as I'm reading this, and as I grow older in the Lord and even being a member here, my heart cries like, Lord, give me hunger. Lord, give us hunger. Give us thirst. This is a gift from You. Lord, let us not be satisfied. Let us not be filled. Let us not have our appetite be filled with other things that just totally dull my hunger for You. Lord, awaken afresh and new hunger and thirst for God. Amen.
Yes.
Matthew 5:6, love it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. There is a blessedness and satisfaction that comes with hunger and thirst. My personal experience, when I'm not hungry and thirsty for God, I'm really not satisfied. Amen? You're sitting on the couch, looking at your phone, being filled with other things, and you're like, I'm really not satisfied, but I keep on doing it. Trying not to be too convicted. But it's true. Lord, release Your spirit that hungers and thirsts. I was created to hunger and thirst for God. Lord, You want to fill me fresh and anew with fresh encounters, with fresh revelation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You give us this fresh hunger and this fresh thirst that comes by Your Spirit. Amen? I just love David. Psalm 42, verse 1 through 2. Through 2 says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I love David. How many here love David? Love David. God said, this is a man after my own heart. And you just read the Psalms, and this man is not the only Psalm. He said, I hunger, I thirst for God. It's the place where we're greatest satisfied. When we hunger and thirst for Him, and then that divine moment when we encounter Him, you're like, there is nothing else that satisfies more than encountering God Himself. Face to face, like Jacob. Jacob didn't go casual, wasn't casual about his pursuit after God. He says, he wrestled with God. He said, I will wrestle with God until I am transformed. It's not this casual, even though I believe in quiet devotion, and it doesn't have to be loud in secret, But there is a fire, there's a hunger that, I mean, that is of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, He wants to awaken hunger and thirst for God. Hunger and thirst for face-to-face encounters with the God of the universe. Hunger and thirst always precedes encounter. And this is my prayer, and I just want to, like I said, declare it prophetically that our identity as a sin church, it is a church that hungers and thirsts for God. That we hunger and thirst until. We hunger and thirst until we encounter God, the living God, face to face. Amen? So just to kind of go over summary, keys to ascending, keys to encounter. Ascend church DNA. Clean hands and a pure heart. Valuing holiness. Not lifting up our soul to God. Wholehearted love for Jesus. Not swearing deceitfully. Having honesty and integrity. And seeking God's face. Having hunger and thirst for God. Amen? So, if you thought that was convicting in any way, it's going to get even more convicting. No, hopefully it was halfway. You got a little nugget here and there in the midst of my Holy Spirit rambling. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, there's another verse I'll share. I still have a few more minutes. You guys okay with me sharing a few more things? Yes. Praise the Lord. So this is an awesome passage. I love it. It says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. There is a generation who will seek God until they find Him. Those are all great things. This is, like I said, I love this passage. I love that that's what God speaks over us. This is who you are, a sin church. But then I love the verses that follow this passage. It says, verses 7 through 10, it says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So this is the promise for their generation. This is the promise for the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. This passage is prophetic passage of the return of Jesus. But it is also prophetic of a generation that will usher in the greatest revival and outpouring of the Holy Spirit that has ever been known to man. And that will usher in, ultimately, the return of Jesus. And I believe that we here at Ascend Church are forerunners of this reality, where we are pure and holy before Him, loving Him wholeheartedly, continue to say yes to this process, to continue to pursue the high call of God, to continue to re-sign up, to continue to ask for the gift of hunger and thirst, to seek His face until we encounter a living God. And what this is the recipe or the key that really, when we join these DNA identity principles and heart attitudes before the Lord, it's a key that unlocks the gates of heaven that says, lift up you heads, be lifted up you everlasting doors. And that there is a King of glory. We all have the King of glory living inside us, but there is another dimension when the heavens open up and the King of glory comes in our midst and we all fall on our faces. Every sickness is healed. Signs and words, everyone gets saved. It says He is the Lord of hosts, where He manifests His glory and His victory unlike we've ever seen before. I have personally not seen it. I've just read about it in the Bible and I've heard about it in generations past. But there is a generation that will usher in the King of glory. And I believe that we here at Ascend Church And I just prophesy over the church of Jesus Christ in America and to the nations that this is the generation that will seek God's face, that will live pure before Him, that will not live in compromise, that will have integrity, that will continue to sign up and say yes to ascending until the King of Glory comes. And every knee has to bow, every tongue has to confess that Jesus is Lord. Sickness, disease, depression has to flee in the presence of our King. Amen? That could close right there. I'll try to be really quick. These last few, I have 10 minutes. Praise the Lord. So I did have a dream. People like dreams? Raise your hand if you like dreams. Raise your hand if you like dreams that are really encouraging. Raise your hand if you like dreams that are really convicting. half the reason. So we were on this 21 days of prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year, transitioning into our new season of being no longer Hilltop, but a Sin Church. And to be honest, like I said, I really want to walk in honesty and integrity. I mean, if I were to be really, really honest with you, I cannot say with confidence, really, that I've been ascending as a leader. I'm not saying I'm living backslidden in a bunch of sin. I feel like I'm more like I'm plateauing. Okay? And I don't know that's not my identity, and that's not our identity. Yeah, I've experienced God to this level. And I'm just kind of, it's good. I'm not living in sin. I'm loving Jesus. I'm coming to church. And I'm trying to glorify Him and all that I can do. But I'm just kind of at this plateau. Yeah. During this fast, I can't say I was really going after it with God with a lot of hunger and thirst. But God, in His kindness and His mercy, He's just like, gives us a dream. And He speaks a word to us. And He says, this is not who you are. This is who you are. Isn't God awesome? We ascend really not because of how radical we are. We ascend because He's so committed and radical and fire for us. Amen? A little bit. Oh yeah, prophetic fun thing. I love Lou. I know it's the send guy. It's a little dorky, nerdy, prophetic. It's like, yes, we're a sin church. And there's this huge gathering about almost 100,000, 80,000 live, almost 14,000 viewing this through a stream. There was a gathering called the Storm, where they were gathering together in Orlando. Leaders, the body of Christ, showed up in a really amazing way, 12 hours of just seeking God's face to really say, God, send me into the harvest. It was, I mean, I watched about 6 hours, give or take. It was powerful. But I was just thinking, it was just my fun prophetic humor. It's like, we're a sin church, but, you know, ascending, but we're also a sin church. We're sending the Lord. We're sending and follow, thrusting forth laborers into the harvest. Amen. That's what you're going to say. Each one of you, not me, not just me or Pastor Victor or the elders. Every one of us, God wants to thrust us forth and use us mightily. Amen. But back to the dream. So the dream, very short dream. God usually gives me very short dreams. Not like super vivid, long dreams. In the dream, Laura is my wife, and we're about to go to a core team meeting. It's kind of our leadership meeting. And she tells me, she's like, yeah, I really want to bring before the core team, or our leaders, about this courtship relationship. There's this Asian man who's wanting to court me. And I just want to bring it before them to hear, just to kind of announce and just see what their thoughts are. And I'm like, wait a second. And then they're like, what is this? I wasn't smiling. I said, no, we do not need to share this with the core team. Let's go and speak with Pastor Victor. And then I wake up and I was like, Lord, is my wife being drawn away by an international. Now, that's not what I thought. I did not think that. Literally, I did not. The first piercing of the Spirit of God on our heart. This is how it feels. This is how I feel when you are drawn away by your love. And that literally, I'm Laura. And that the church of Jesus is Laura. Laura's name means victorious. But though we are victorious, we can be drawn to other ones. So I'm just like pierced to the heart. Whoa. And to be honest, this is during the fast. I can't say my heart is really in the best place. Kind of just living, plateauing, being satisfied with other things. I can say that during the fast, that's probably most of the days how it's feeling. And God is the same. This is how my heart feels. So then I wake up, I'm just stirred. I can't go back to sleep. And I go out into the living room. And I haven't read through the whole Bible for like a decade, but I've read, lots. I consistently try to read the Word in various ways, but I haven't read it all the way through from start to finish for many years. And I have a radical friend, just an awesome brother in Chicago. He's like, let's read the Bible together, and there's Bible apps where you can kind of do it together. So Laura and I and my friend and his wife are reading through the Bible together. It's been awesome. I really have been enjoying it. Genesis, Leviticus, even. We're in Numbers, but it's been fresh. It's been really good. But it just happened to be, I was woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just like reading. I'm just going to read the Word while I'm awake. And especially after I can get on my phone, I want to become free. I'm not going to get on YouTube and Facebook. I'm just out in the Word by His Spirit. And the chapter that I was in for that day was in Genesis 35. When I read this passage, it just brought it to a whole other level. For me personally, but then at first I was like, is this just for me? You guys probably would have been happy if it was just for me, right? But through this verse, I felt like this Word is for us here at Ascent. And I don't hear it point the finger, but I'm going to point the finger myself. But because of this passage, I really felt like this dream is not only for me, for us here at Ascent. Genesis 35, verses 1 through 5, and 9 through 12. Those are just two chunks. I'm going to read out a New American Standard Version, or New American Standard Bible, NASB. It says, "Then God said to Jacob," not Abraham, not Isaac, to Jacob. He said, "Arise, go." When I read that, it was like it just struck me right in the heart. Pastor Goodyear, the very first sermon he shared as a Ascent Church, our launching day, he shared a word out of Joshua. And it was called, "Arise, go." I'm just reading this verse. "Arise, go to Bethel and live there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to the household, this is Jacob, and he says to his household and all who were with him, "Put away your foreign gods which are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments. And let us arise and go." When I think of arise and go, I just think of the word ascend. Arise and go. Ascend. Cleanse yourself. Purify yourself. Take your foreign gods. Arise and go to Bethel. I think of Bethel. It was just this place of encountering God. And I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been there, been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which they had, and the rings that were in their ears. Ladies, you don't have to take out your earrings tonight. That's okay. And Jacob hid them under the oak It said like determinate tree, but I didn't know it until I read this. It says, take your idols and put them under the yoke, which is near Shechem. As they journeyed, there was great terror among the city, on the cities which were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. I felt like the Lord was saying, Ascend Church, I am committed to you, and I am giving you a fresh start to arise and go, to ascend the Lord. And I just want to make room for you to come before me fresh and be cleansed in the love of Jesus, be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, be cleansed with the fire of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, to purify us, and to bring before the Lord all of our lesser loves and to put them under the oak. I think of that. Let's bring our lesser loves, our idols, our foreign gods, and let's just put that at the feet of the cross. Fresh and say, Jesus, here I am. I want to say yes to you fresh, and I want this to be not only words that come out of my mouth on Sunday, but I want this to be a living reality in my life and a secret place. I want fresh hunger. I want fresh thirst. Suffering of pure and spotless bride, the harvest. And this good Lord is inviting us to say yes. And we haven't been doing altar calls, so let's say it's an altar call. I love altar calls. There's something about it. I know I don't want to be too spiritual, but hey, people have always gone everywhere. People have never listened. Because whatever the Spirit is saying, I have the pressure. Thank you. Holy thing.
Thank you.
being here today. The Lord bless you and keep you, and may His face be upon you as you go today and this week. And blessings. Love you all. Have a great Sunday.